You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at that website, or you could mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for the week of April 12th, 2024. It's Not Safe for Work.
This is, as always, recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where the working title for this episode is Why God Why?
Why God Why?
This is still The Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal. Hey, Blue Gal.
Hi. We're fine.
We're fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. We're fine. Are you fine? I'm fine.
I'm fine. Wait, nothing is going on in our personal lives to create any disaster. I'm worried that we're now alarming our audience.
Tell them that. Go ahead and tell them that. Yeah.
But we did a podcast 2 days ago, and it feels like a year has passed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just because of politics.
Yeah. I have grown a full COVID beard and shaved it off in the last 2 days. My hair all grew back and I shaved it.
Time is going so fast and so slow at the same time.
You know, we thought since we did such a thorough job of talking about the history of the Republican Party's position on abortion over the years and how ruthlessly they've been using the issue to demonize Democrats as baby killing monsters, we thought, okay, we can set that issue aside for a minute, right? No.
Alternatively, we thought, you know, it's a fire hose of news. Let's just read headlines for an hour.
Sure.
And that would be so easy to do that. But you know what? O.J. Simpson died today.
Yes, he did.
We could do a No Fair Remembering O.J. Simpson, but I don't want to do that.
No.
John Bolton is everywhere.
Right. So just do that.
Let's just do that. But there's 100 podcasts that do that.
Yeah.
And we have higher standards than that, Drift Glass.
Honestly, we do.
It's not our thing. So let's start today, Drift Glass, by talking about how much we want to be on the Trump jury.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Because they're going to do jury selection next week.
Yes, they are.
Trump's tried so many times to delay this, and it's so clear that he does not want any of the discovery on this to come out.
No.
He does not want this to be the show.
Right.
And the thing is, for him, the thing he is good at is controlling the show.
Sure.
And this is going to take that out of his hands. The show is going to be about his crimes.
Yeah.
And his relationship with the National Enquirer.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did with him. And so we want to be on the Trump jury so badly. And this is a problem for attorneys engaged in high profile trials that, you know, people who seek attention, seek celebrity, want to be in the center of the action,
which
want
is
to
us.
Be on TV.
You know, we're all about that celebrity seek. We are always out there knocking doors, trying to, you know, more look at us over here.
But see,
look
we're
at
not, but we're not about that. We're about justice.
Justice.
And so I'm going to go into the jury site. First of all, I'm not from New York. This is not going to happen, but I dream of going into the jury selection pool wearing my Eat the Rich t-shirt, my Elizabeth Warren, I am not afraid t-shirt,
mm-hmm.
and saying, you know, they ask you questions like, so what kind of media do you take in? I am the media. But, you know, my favorite movie is Hang 'Em High. And I've really gotten into
Charles Bronson, Death Wish movies, baby.
Death Wish movies.
Vigilante
and,
Justice.
Dirty mm-hmm. Harry movies.
Very important.
And Liam Neeson, I'm going to get you. Anything that has to do with revenge for crimes, I'm into it.
I think you're missing the obvious. I'd be wearing a branded Professional Left podcast No Fair Remembering Stuff shirt or
the
both
No
sides
Fair
don't
Remembering
shirt.
Stuff shirt. There you go.
In designer colors. Or Both Sides Don't shirt. And I'd go in going, you know, I do a pretty wicked Sylvester Stallone as Judge Dredd. What do you talk about Judge Dredd for an hour? You've been served. And And I don't think we'd get on the jury doing that. I think.
Oh, I don't think so either.
We have a good old day. But since we're talking about the American judicial system, he said, transitioning very smoothly to the next topic.
I just want to add one more thing, Driftglass.
Sure.
Which is, do you remember the guy who was a Iraq war vet who, when Alberto Gonzalez was giving testimony, held up a sign keeping track of the I don't recalls?
Oh, I do recall. Yeah.
With the hashtags of like he made hash marks for every time Alberto Gonzalez said, I can't recall.
Mm-hmm.
That would be me on the jury.
Yeah. Ma'am, what are you doing? Oh, just taking notes. You know, just
making
notes.
Sure I keep a note of how many times this lying asshole says he can't recall. That's all, Your Honor.
It seems like he can't recall anything. Maybe his brain isn't working right. You think his brain is broken, Your Honor? Maybe he shouldn't be, you know, running for office with a broken brain like that. And you can't remember Jack.
And when the media starts calling me Madame Lafarge for knitting during the trial, mm-hmm. I'm going to have a whole lot to say about Madame Lafarge, too.
She was right.
She was right. Every stitch was justice for an aristocrat. I am there.
Now, Your Honor, do we have to stop with Trump or can we just start with him? Because I got a list here. I got a really long list here.
I want to be on more juries. This was fun.
Yeah. Let's move it along, people. Move it along. One day, in and out. But we're talking about the legal system. So let's talk for a minute about the most in-demand job on cable news today. And that is TV lawyer.
Yeah.
If you're a TV lawyer, you have a full employment contract with some cable news organization. And we should mention that we are not legalese virgins, either of us.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us were divorced from lawyers in our past lives. The subject of law in our homes, both of them, was always in the air.
My ex-husband was president of the ACLU of Alabama.
Yeah. And my ex was an administrative law judge who would come home with stories about courtroom antics from people who really, really shouldn't be doing their own lawyering or really, really thought that they were allowed to do stuff like that, even though they really weren't. So it comes up even during our adult Sunday school, actually, because we are currently discussing how the Roman concepts of law and justice changed history, and they changed a lot. You know, there's a saying about don't talk about Jesus before you talk about the Emperor Augustine or Julius Caesar, because that's the guy who set this whole thing on the course that it's on. So you got to understand law, history, and justice and what that actually means.
And Cicero, I think, was the other one. Don't talk about Jesus before you talk about Cicero. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a whole subtext there that you never hear about in normal Sunday school. So we talk about history and law and what justice looks like and what it doesn't look like under the cover
and
of law all the time.
Nonviolence and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
And you, my dear, are an avid listener to Trump-related legal podcasts. And everyone in the House, including the four-legged creatures, knows that they have to shut the hell up when Andrew Weissman comes on television.
Hush! My lawyer's on.
Shh! Everybody
and
shut up.
And time stops. To hear what my lawyer has to say. That's right. He's my TV lawyer. Elie Mystal is my TV husband.
Yes.
And
also a lawyer.
He's happily married. I'm happily married to some, you know, that this is not anything romantic. It's just he's my TV husband. And yes, I listen to Legal AF from Midas Touch. Has way too many ads. And at some point we need to talk about ads on podcasts.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's driving me crazy. And I know it's because they get so little money for each ad. But I don't care. They got to stop. It's just too much. And you know, you don't have any real ads on this show most of the time.
I'll just put in one plug and then we'll talk about it in a different episode. If you want all Allstate commercials all the time with a little bit of political talk, just go over to the Bulwark and listen to
it's constant,
Tim Miller.
Isn't it?
It really is. Just 17 back-to-back Allstate ads and then a little chat and then 17 back-to-back Chick-fil-A ads.
And Legal AF tries to weave them into the show so that you don't notice that all of a sudden you're listening to an ad. It's the same host saying the ad that's on the show, and he uses the bed sheets that are being advertised and so forth.
I thought it was more like, you know, Trump's really going to fill his diapers on this one. Speaking of diapers, Huggies are an excellent value.
It's that close. They're really trying. I also listen to Andrew Weissman and Mary McCord, whose podcast Prosecuting Donald Trump is an MSNBC production. I don't think Andrew Weitzman does any of his own sound editing.
No.
Unlike this podcast, which is all me all the time. It's all my fault. And then I listened to Clean Up on Aisle 45, which is AG from the Mueller She Wrote and Pete Strzok podcast. Yeah. Now, those are the legal ones I listen to. I'll put a plug in now for Momocrats, which is Carolee, my boss at Crooks and Liars. That's her podcast, along with some other former people from people who are formerly from Crooks and Liars. So, yeah. You know, that's a good one to listen to. But yeah, I learn a lot from those. I learn a lot from those podcasts. And I'm really just trying to, first of all, catch up on what has happened in the legal world regarding Trump this week.
Right.
And then it helps to have some people who know how to explain things to me, who I am not a lawyer, as to what went on and, you know, what it means. But you have a different take about these things.
I do. And speaking of exes, my ex was probably still is a big basketball fan, big Bulls fan. We were living in Chicago during the heyday of the Chicago Bulls. We both went to school with a member of the Chicago Bulls, so we had a kind of a personal connection. But after a while, it got to be so intense that she would just leave the room. Mm. And I would call her in for the last 2 minutes.
You mean she'd be so upset about who was going to win the game? Is that
The emotions would swing wildly back and forth, you know, and live and die at every shot. And I understand sports fanatics are that way. I'm not one, and that's fine with me. So I would call her in during the last 2 minutes, because that's when everything gets decided anyway. Unless there's a blowout happening on the floor, the games get decided in the last 2 minutes. The preceding four quarters minus 2 minutes are fun and interesting and exercises in balletic athleticism, but it doesn't fucking matter. What matters are the last 90 seconds of the game. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's where we're at now. That to me, that's what it reminds me of. Because to me, the constant barrage of legal minutia and how many motions are being filed and under what circumstances and in which court, and this reminds me of this precedent, but maybe it doesn't apply to that as well because there's other precedent, isn't like watching a cricket match and you not knowing the rules. To me, it's like someone describing a cricket match. At the same time, they're describing Calvin Ball and the cones of Dunshire, and you're not understanding the rules of any of them. But you do know that American democracy may or may not depend on the outcome of one or maybe all of them, or maybe not. And there's just welter of very, very detailed, little specific things and delays, and here's a strategy, and here's a tactic, and maybe Monday, but possibly Tuesday, but we're really holding that hope for Wednesday. Oh, Wednesday's come and gone, but they filed another motion. Like, I don't want to hear any more of that at all.
You want the last minute when he's found guilty and put in jail.
Or not. I want to hear the important stuff. And I know that every single inkling of doc review and motion filing and all of that stuff is very important to the lawyers and to the process. I simply have zero faith that the law and the legal system is set up to contain anything like this.
Going back to the podcast I listen to, it is also good for filling space between ads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, let's face it, 90% of cable TV is, let's find someone who can talk in sound bites, who can fill the time between Ozempic ads.
Yeah.
Got it.
And Sky Rizzi. Yeah, sure.
But, you know, you and I went through Fitzmas together.
Yeah.
And we went through the Mueller report, and all of that was a bust. And I'm pretty much soured on the whole activity. I understand its importance. I respect the legal minds. Some of them are very engaging. But what's really clear to me is that the system was never designed. I think I talked about this with you earlier today. The system was never designed by the founders. There is a solution to a monster like Trump, and it's impeachment and removal. He's a criminal.
Impeachment, yeah.
Impeachment, removal, and he can't serve anymore in office. Boom. But I don't think the founders ever contemplated, or any political generation before ours, that an entire political party, one of the two political parties, would willingly become co-conspirators in a seditious coup against their own country. Mm-hmm. They'd have one bad guy or three bad guys, and the political system as a whole would be so horrified by that that they would combine forces to remove that person from office and make sure they could never, ever serve again. The courts are just not set up to do that. And honestly, once you take the courts out of the equation – and impeachment out of the equation, what you have is the Civil War.
Yeah.
And because that's the only other example of an entire group of Americans, thousands of millions of them, turning on their own government and rejecting their authority and making war against them, which is essentially what the Republicans are doing now. So what's clear to me is that all political players and institutions are right now being pushed to their absolute limits by Donald Trump and his followers. I just don't think the legal system is set up to deal with it. But I think lawyers, they don't know what else to talk about. That's their only vocabulary. So that's what they talk about. And I appreciate that. But it's not doing anything for me.
And it's the constant threat of violence from his followers that keeps justice at bay. We are a country with an insurgent terrorist organization living and operating within our borders, and the media will not say that. They will not say that. The leader of those terrorists walks around free, owning Truth Social, sending out messages that are repeated on the air, and is on our TV every day lying and making more threats.
And accepting bribes, because that's
what... And accepting bribes, yes.
Yeah, openly.
And I don't know what we can do about that except beat down the will of MAGA by voting them out and arresting enough of them who do try violence and keeping them in prison until the movement peters out. You have to treat them like terrorists. You have to find them, undo their plots, catch them before the plot happens, and arrest them and keep them in prison. And the problem is you have a Republican Congress that wants to undo FISA, that wants to undo the FBI, that wants to defund federal law enforcement. It's like you said, they are criminal collaborators in an anti-democracy conspiracy. And so convicting the head of the organization, Donald Trump, is going to discourage some of them and enrage the others. And I think there will be violence. I'm sorry to say that, but I think you're going to see violence next year. And we must do that. We must convict Donald Trump. But that's not our job, Drift Class.
That's right.
Our job is voting. And on that happy note, we're going to talk a little bit about how the mainstream media is cracking up. But on the topic of the media, and speaking of Donald Trump and Republican voters, we have to give big kudos to Lawrence O'Donnell, who on Wednesday night did his A block, and it was about not just Trump. It was about Republican voters. Republican voters for years. And it absolutely sounded, and Heather over at Crooks and Liars pinged me to say, did you see Lawrence going full segment of your podcast?
Yes. Yes, we
did. Yes, we did. It could have been a No Fair Remembering stuff. It was great. Because he put the blame for overturning Roe, the takeover of the Supreme Court, and the huge crisis that has caused squarely where it belongs, not only on Republican presidents, but on Republican voters, all the way back to George H.W. Bush. Now, Driftglass was very tempted to tell me to just put the entire A block of Lawrence O'Donnell in our show. 19 minutes. We'll call it a day. Here you go.
Exactly.
And we might have gotten away with that like 3 or 4 years from now, going back to a 4-year-old Lawrence O'Donnell show. And maybe in 4 years we will do that. But we can't do that now. It's not kosher. But here's a taste. This is how we opened the A block. And you really should go check the whole thing out. We will have a link in our show notes. If you love No Fair Remembering stuff, you're going to love this.
Well, it's not Donald Trump who did this. It's the 63 million people who voted for Donald Trump and put the power of Supreme Court nominations in Donald Trump's hands for 4 years. And it's the 62 million people who voted for George W. Bush, or who volunteered for his campaign, or who helped out in any way, which meant that they indirectly voted for Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Samuel Alito, who wrote the opinion overturning Roe versus Wade. And it's the 49 million people who voted for George H.W. Bush, who indirectly voted for Clarence Thomas to serve on the Supreme Court, where he waited for decades to vote to overturn Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, and there's 19 minutes of that.
And then he goes on and talks with Sheldon Whitehouse, who is the king of, you know, outing the Supreme Court as the corrupt institution formed corruptly by the Republican Party. of the Senate. So, yeah,
and
worth
and
watching.
Definitely worth watching. We're going to put that in our show notes, a link to that in our show notes. And the reason we played that is twofold. Well, first of all, because it's awesome. It's just awesome. And it's so much in our sweet spot. It's such a rare kind of thing to hear. And it's so perfectly us. It sounds like stuff we've been talking about during mm-hmm. this entire run of our podcast. But the second reason is kind of a corollary of the first, because it is so rare. Because almost no one else in the media ever talks about the past. They're terrified of talking about the past and how we got to where we are. And who is ultimately responsible for how we got to where we are? And who, by name, you know, Lawrence talked by name of the presidents and the voters and the people who put the people on the court that ruined this country. Almost everyone else in the media is so busy currently trying to placate Republicans or hire Republicans. They're flailing around, still trying to pretend that there's some sort of magical center out there where, you know, sensible people like them can gather to escape the extremes on both sides. Because in the stories they always tell about politics, every problem is the fault of the extremes on both sides. And you know what? In that very toxic environment,
so shines a good deed in a weary world.
So credit where credit is due. Way to go, Lawrence O'Donnell. But what Lawrence O'Donnell did last night is still very much the exception. The rule is still this kind of garbage from the New York Times.
This is from Jess Bidgood in the New York Times. And when we were rehearsing, I asked Driftglass about this person. And is she like some summer intern? Well, just wait to find out who she is.
No, she's not.
Her article in the New York Times is this, quote, "Two imperfect messengers take on abortion. Neither side of the abortion divide would probably design the exact candidate they have in 2024. Both sides, Driftglass.
Yeah, everyone's imperfect, Blue Gale. They're just falling.
President Biden and former President Donald Trump both have complicated political histories with abortion, over which neither have always towed the party line on a wrenching and personal issue that could all but decide the election," unquote. So see, it's both Biden and Trump that have a problem with the abortion issue, Driftglass.
If you find the Twitter application littered with wood chips, it's all the people that put this article and the writer of this article through the wood chipper. So it's like, what the fuck is your problem?
What is wrong with you?
What is wrong with you? What's wrong with your brain?
Yeah.
Well?
Yeah. This is so bad. It's horrible, and it's so on purpose.
Yep.
Jess Bidgood, as I said, is she a summer intern, fresh out of school, 19 years old, and she's only learned how to write things in both siderese?
Angling for a job at the National Review, perhaps?
Did they hire her by accident?
whose niece is she?
Yes. This is somebody's niece, right? Who's got out of summer camp and came over, right? Nope. 3 weeks ago, on March 20th of this year, the New York Times hired Jess Bidgood to be the managing editor of their On Politics newsletter. Now, and here's how they did it. Quote, "We're thrilled to announce that at Jess Bidgood is rejoining the Times as the new managing correspondent of the On Politics newsletter," unquote. This kind of drivel is exactly what the Sulzberger family wants in their newspaper.
There is no other explanation for it.
No.
At all.
They did it on purpose.
And they keep doing it on purpose. And they keep doing exactly the same thing on purpose. And people like us and a growing chorus of other former editors and writers and people who are much more respectable than we are just banging their heads going, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? And, you know,
they want their tax cuts. That's what's wrong.
They want their tax cuts. And I think they're genuinely afraid that if Trump wins, you know,
he's going to put them all on trains.
Yeah. Well, they can hold their, you know, op-ed columnists out the window and say, see, we were fair to both sides. You know, we attack Democrats and Republicans. So you're not going to take us, are you? And that will get them a top bunk at the camps we'll all end up at. Mm-hmm. So good for them. Because once again, this is also from the New York Times. Different person, different article, same goddamn paper. Headline reads, "Arizona ruling spurs strong reactions, but election impact is unclear." Now, this magic eight ball level reporting was based on New York Times journalists apparently wandering around the greater Phoenix metropolitan area until they found two people with two different opinions. Ha ha ha! You know, anecdotal reporting, which, as everyone knows, all the very, very top tier J schools believe is the most accurate, the most fair, the most useful, and most predictive kind of journalism. So, you know, we found two folks. So they met some people who thought, you know, Donald Trump is disgusting and a fraud and a monster and the abortion ruling in Arizona is barbaric, right? They met people like that. But they also met a 25-year-old retail manager named Maverick.
Yeah, Maverick in Arizona?
I assume named after, I don't know, maybe a senator from that state's reputation. He liked to call himself. Who knows? Maybe this is his name. Maybe they just liked the show Maverick with James Garner. I don't know. But he's a 25-year-old retail manager. His name is Maverick. And that's when the New York Times knew they had struck gold in the Grand Canyon state. Quote, leave it up to the female. Because, you know, females is such an endearing word to use for women. Said Maverick Williams, 25, a retail manager who is walking his dog in the conservative Anthem neighborhood on the northern edge of Phoenix. It's her body. Then she needs to decide. But voters like Mr. Williams suggest that it might not be so simple in this closely divided desert battleground. Although he opposed the state's court's abortion decision, he said he was more worried about the rising cost of living. And he called President Biden too old and unfit to serve another term. He said he would vote for Mr. Trump, unquote. So, screw the women, screw basic civil rights. Joe Biden is apparently in charge of the cost of eggs in Phoenix, Arizona. So I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. Now, bam, right there. Call the Pulitzer people. Tell them the contest is over because we got Maverick. We got a quote from Maverick. Now, sure, the Times could have looked up, you know, all the data from all the other states where anti-abortion fanatics had screwed up really badly and flipped the script and Democrats had won. Or they could have talked to any of those dozens of focus groups or all the polls that have been done. But they didn't need to do any of that because they had Maverick. And with Maverick in one hand and, you know, other people in the other hand, they had their scoop. The scoop.
At Driftglass, you know, Tom Friedman's on the Pulitzer committee, so they're all set.
They're ready to go. They're locked and loaded and ready to go. So they had their scoop. And what was their scoop? Arizona ruling spurs strong reaction, but election impact is unclear. And the article, it's not just the headline. The article is packed with gems like this. Quote, the decision upending abortion care in a critically important battleground state inspired passionate reactions from Arizonans across the political divide, ranging from elation to disgust, unquote. There was also this. Some conservative voters and the state's most ardent critics of abortion hailed it as a victory for women. Many Democrats, moderate independents, and some Republicans said the Arizona Supreme Court had gone too far, but it was far from clear that the decision would tip the balance in the November presidential election. So it might be one thing or it might be another. We just don't know. In conclusion, Arizona, land of contrasts.
It is like a book report that was due an hour ago.
Yeah.
You know, being rushed through and we're just going to have these, you know, bland. Oh, God, it's just so awful.
Run out and find me some guy who thinks that women are cool, but we're still going to vote for Trump.
Right.
We got a guy named Maverick. Boom.
Excellent.
Done.
Excellent. Quotes. Violet.
Yeah.
Get some quotes from him.
Yeah.
So as the legacy print media continues to fail us, so does cable news. Once again, Lawrence O'Donnell was the exception this week, especially.
Oh, yeah.
The rule is stuff like John Bolton showing up on both CNN and MSNBC, who is not our friend. This should be seen in the light of NBC's hiring and firing of Ronna McDaniel. And during our rehearsal, Driftglass was really clear about this. You know, they are looking to get Ronna McDaniel off the headlines.
Right.
Even if it's to make liberals and reasonable people even more angry at them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about Ronna McDaniel. So that's good.
It's good. It's good.
Ronna McDaniel almost cost us our jobs.
Well, she still might.
And she still might.
Still very well might. Yeah. But you got to wait a while to pretend it's something else.
But let's cool this down by putting on something like John Bolton. Legacy media outlets are desperate to find some Republican somewhere who, yeah, they were pro-Trump back in 2018.
Sure.
And that's the hedge against being destroyed if Trump wins in November.
Right.
But you know what? The reputation of these folks can also be rehabilitated fast enough that their core audience won't bail on them.
Yep.
And the problem is there are no such people, Driftglass.
They try.
They grab the nearest approximation, which is John Bolton, a bottom feeder like John Bolton, who, yeah, I'm still a Republican, and I'll trash Donald Trump, but I'm also going to trash Joe Biden as senile. And I'm going to swear during my appearance on CNN that I wrote in Dick Cheney in 2020. I didn't vote for Biden or Trump. I went straight down the middle with Dick Cheney.
You know why? Because he's an independent, blue gal.
Independent. I'm an independent. And I'm going to write in Dick Cheney again in 2024.
Man.
The mortal remains, or the slightly less mortal remains of Dick Cheney. I want that as president of the United States. And then MSNBC turned around and gave him 20 minutes in their best afternoon show, their highest rated daytime show, which is, you know, Nicole Wallace had to sit there for 20 minutes with John Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Stephanie Miller, she was excited that, you know, Nicole Wallace apparently gave John Bolton an ass kicking.
Kicked his ass.
He's still on for 20 minutes.
Right.
And yeah, Nicole Wallace is good at pushing back on a few things, but she still had him on for 20 minutes and she had to let other things slide because you always have to squeeze in a break. And it all begs the question, why the hell was John fucking Bolton on television?
Yeah, period. What was he doing there? Yeah. So as we were catching our breath from, why is John Bolton on my TV? Shit.
This is the why God why part of our
God,
show.
Why God why?
Yeah.
So for relief, we paused for a moment. We took a little nap. We drank a little wine. And then on NBC, oh my God, there's Ari Melber interviewing Michael Avenatti from prison.
And at that point, I thought, they're just trolling us.
Yeah. And apparently, Peter Navarro was still getting used to the big house, so he was not available.
Couldn't have Peter Navarro on again for headline making from your show, Ari Melber.
Yeah, he wasn't all hip to the phone privilege thing or the cafeteria thing. Avenatti's an institution man now.
Who knows how to get stuff from the warden. Yeah.
He knows the ins and outs. He knows how to get a phone call through. And the guy clearly still wants to be on TV so bad, even though it's from prison. And Melber milked this Avenatti interview by asking Spencer Ackerman, hey, what do you think about my interview with Michael Avenatti that just happened? And that was probably a mistake because Spencer Ackerman handed Melber his ass on a platter. Now, watch and listen how Melber excuses that our reporting is more important than common sense.
Here on a night of a newsworthy interview, Mr. Avenatti has many controversies associated with him. I asked him about those. But first and foremost, Nick, what do you think of the two points he makes there, that he does expect Trump to be convicted, but he also thinks there are issues in this case?
I wouldn't take the word on his word on either of those two things. He knows nothing about this case. He was not involved in the mechanics of the case. He was not involved in the payoffs. He was not involved in how it was set up. He's not a witness in this case. The witnesses in this case are, it's not just Michael Cohen, like he says. It's also David Pecker, who was the head of the National Enquirer. Mm-hmm. What the indictment alleges is a scheme to basically catch and kill individuals who are offering information on Donald Trump to keep that from the voting public in 2016.
And that became a crime of lying to the government and potentially a related election crime. When you say he doesn't know things, you mean he was not the lawyer at the time that this went down.
Right. He has no personal knowledge.
He does know a lot of things that most people don't know, whether you like it or not. I mean, you might be thinking that he's just criticizing the DA or whatever your reasons are. Avenatti knows what Stormy Daniels' state of mind was at the time that this came out in 18. He knows how he dealt with Mr. Cohen at that time. He and Mr. Cohen both ended up going to prison. What did you think of his concern about Cohen as a witness?
Well, sure, Cohen has problems as a witness. But the question before the jury is not whether you think he lied in the past. It's whether you can believe him now. Mm-hmm. And so you've got the
test. Which, I will say, in both fairness and criticism, applies to both lawyers.
Well, right. Yes.
So whether you believe either of them then and now.
But Avenatti's not going to be a witness in this case. He's got nothing, zero, to do with it. He has no knowledge as to any of the allegations in this complaint. He talks about the case being stale. That was a motion that was already made by Donald Trump and denied by Judge Judge Mershon.
I would say based on the situation, he's unlikely to be a witness. But for our reporting purposes, you don't know who all the witnesses will be.
I can tell you one witness is not going to be up there, and that's Avenatti.
Well,
there is no
way. Did the DA tell you that?
No, but there is no way any reasonable district attorney would ever put that guy on the witness stand.
I appreciate that as legal analysis. In our reporting, though, there's a difference there when we don't know who those witnesses are going to
be. Well, we don't know, but it could be Santa Claus, too. It's not going to be Avenatti.
Well, don't make me talk about Santa Claus on TV. That's a whole record
well,
on that.
6 months away.
But
yeah, you know, it's all about, but our reporting says.
Right.
And Spencer Ackerman is just saying no. You might as well put Santa Claus on the stand.
Yeah. Avenatti knows. Why are you doing this? It all but said, why are you doing this? Well, you know, and it was so clear that Miller was so fucking, you know, you don't know everything. You're not the boss of me. I mean, it might be important. This actually might be important. Our reporting suggests that there might be some importance here that you're not aware of, some mystical, invisible importance. No, the word has gone forth very clearly from the Dark Tower itself.
Yeah.
Find some Republicans. Find some people who will say nice things about Donald Trump, which Avenatti did.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump tweeted nice things about Michael Avenatti after this interview. Like, you know,
because Avenatti said he's not going to get a fair trial in New York.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got the Trump dynamic. You're making the Trump people that you will never, ever get to watch your stupid shows. But you still keep trying because you got to sell those Ozempic, you know, commercials to somebody.
Well, I think that's the thing, as you were saying. Get anything to get Ronald McDaniel's taste out of everybody's mouth.
Yeah.
Even if you're making them swallow Michael Avenatti. And hate tweets and hate messages and what the hell are you doing still gets links to your show.
And I think it goes beyond just look over there. There's another shiny object. It really is. They really want to find some imaginary Republicans to put on the air. They really feel that's their fucking business model. We can't just have Tim Miller on saying that Donald Trump's a monster and Sarah Longwell on saying, and I have a focus group of people who are insane and drunk and think Donald Trump's a god and laugh about those people. They really, 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 in their bones, you remember that whole have we gone too far right ad campaign?
Yeah, right.
MSNBC did years ago. They really want to have a bunch of Republicans on the air. And there just aren't any who aren't seditious, insane morons. But they can't get it out of their heads that they must have that to complete their palette of color or whatever and sell that ad. So they keep trying and failing miserably. Now, the fact that they failed so miserably this week that everyone forgot about Ronald McDaniel, that's just a bonus. But they're not going to stop doing it because there's no consequences to it. Because the people above them will never be axed for trying too hard to put Republicans on the air because they've done it already. Everybody from Charlie Sykes to Joe Scarborough to Nicole Wallace to their whole lineup during most of primetime are all former Republicans.
Yeah, right.
Half the guests are former Republicans. So clearly that is their model. They just can't find any of them who can straddle the impossible, unstraddleable abyss between the treason caucus and people who like democracy.
Yeah.
But they're going to keep trying. And they're going to keep failing, and we're going to keep podcasting about it because circle of life, baby. I think
it's nice we won't run out of material, Driftglass.
Yeah. Between now and Tuesday, there's going to be another 2 years worth of news. So,
oh, God.
Jesus Christ.
On that note,
yeah.
Let's do a news roundup. The President Bidening continues. By the way, I was just reading on Axios before we went on air, Driftglass, that Biden has decided to go ahead with gun reform and student. We know about student loans from a couple of days ago. And he's doing that knowing that conservative judges are going to challenge him on it. And he's welcoming the fight. Axios said, Biden YOLO.
Can I take a little bit of a detour right now? Do you mind?
No, that's fine.
Just speaking of that, the student loan thing and gun regulation and so forth. There is currently floating around on social media another interview with another 24-year-old ditz, who's not going to vote for Joe Biden. I just can't vote for him because he did not protect reproductive rights and he won't cancel student loans. And clearly just completely uninformed. And he's
uninformed,
not,
yeah.
I'm too pure for this and he hasn't done right by me and he hasn't done anything and blah, 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 blah. And that was brought to my attention because somebody dipped into my blog to find my reprint of T-Bog's response to people like that.
Oh.
Now, would you like me to read? This is from 2008.
I would.
This is from 2008. And
T-Bog is old school.
Old school. T-Bog, notorious internet quitter, T-Bog. and this is from a post he did, I think, in 2008 about your Mumia sweatshirt won't get you into heaven anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a comment about Ralph Nader and Democrats hate Ralph Nader and, you know, how Democrats just suck. They don't deserve my vote. They aren't helping the left. Why should the left help them? You know, and you got to wonder what these people are thinking now about all of this. Yeah. You know, they haven't done nothing. They haven't done nothing for me in no time. And T-Bog explains, I don't know what his voice sounds like, so I'll do it in my own voice. But this is T-Bog from the before time, mind you, the good old days.
Yeah, way before Trump. Yep.
This is from T-Bog. Let me see if I can explain it this way. Every year in Happy Gumdrop Fairy Tale Land, all the sprites and elves and woodland creatures gather together to pick the Rainbow Sunshine Queen. Everyone is there. The Lollipop Guild, the Star Twinkling Toddlers, the Sparkly Unicorns, the Cookie Baking Apple Cheek Grandmothers, the Fluffy Bunny Bund, the Rumbly Tumbly Pupperoos, the Snowflake Princesses, the Baby Duckies all in a row, the Laughing Babies, and all the Dykes on Bikes. To have a big picnic with cupcakes and gumdrops and pudding pops, stopping only to cast their votes by throwing magic wishing rocks into the well of laughter, comedy, and good intentions. Afterwards, they spend the rest of the night dancing and singing and waving glow sticks until dawn, when they tumble sleepy-eyed into their beds made of the purest, whitest goose down, where they dream of angels and clouds and spun sugar. You don't live there. Grow the fuck up. All I can say is, I think that should just be a mantra that we repeat, I don't know, every day, every hour of every day.
Every 6 months at least, yeah.
Because Jesus Christ, why can't... Okay, and I'm not saying that those people never learn. I am saying...
No, they do eventually learn. They do.
We did. I mean, I voted for John Anderson, you know? Yep. That was my...
I was Kennedy 80, absolutely. Yep.
But if you're still, you know, if you're in your 30s, even your late 20s, and I respect the fact... Here's something else, just a brief aside. I respect the fact that my experience of history is not your experience. My experience is the 90s.
Right.
And before that, when people got shit done and they kind of worked on things, and you had Ted Kennedy in the Senate and you got stuff done, and there was a sense that people were actually interested in, you know, governing. If you're in your 20s, your entire history of government is tragedy and disaster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's 9/11 and it's a coup. And it's the economy crashing and billionaires being bailed and COVID.
And the government keeping PPE from states based on whether you voted for Trump or not.
Well, and the economy crashing.
Yeah.
And your dad losing his job and never getting another one. And billionaires
and you missed
being
bailed your out. Senior prom. You missed all your dating experience. You're alone in a room with a Game Boy or a PS5, you know, whatever it is.
I understand.
And,
I understand.
Yeah, your life has been ruined by a lot of things outside of yourself that you have nothing to do with.
And I understand at some point you go, burn it all down. Mm-hmm. No one is looking out for me. Let's try something else. Let's throw a rock through the window and try something else. I trust that. I believe that. I empathize with that. But throwing the rock through the window is what people did in 2016. And that's how we got Trump.
That's right.
And if you do not step up and say, look, as bad as it was, oh my God, I didn't realize it could be this bad. And it's going to get so much worse. And if you don't understand that, well,
and I've
email
said this
us.
So many times, I'm tired of saying it, but don't elect Bibi Netanyahu president.
No, exactly.
Don't elect a fascist dictator president thinking that'll show them.
And
that
you know
just
what?
Leads to a lot of suffering of people that you care about.
Be as mad as you want at Hillary Clinton, be as mad as you want at Joe Biden, be as mad as you want at us. You know, be mad at Barack Obama. All of those people are categorically different than Donald Trump and the Republican Party.
Absolutely. And and one other thing, Driftglass, the student loan thing, because that is exponentially growing.
Yeah.
The number of people who are benefiting from Joe Biden just sticking to it.
Right.
The reason there's two reasons Joe Biden is sticking to it. One is young activists pushing him to the left and saying this issue matters to the U.S. economy and it is going to matter to your political future. and young activists convincing him of that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other part of that, and I'm going to whisper this, Driftglass.
Okay, just to me. Just to me.
All of the Elizabeth Warren acolytes that work in the Biden White House.
I was going to say. Yep.
You know, and that org chart is destiny. The people that you put in there. Mm-hmm. That's, I think she says human resources is destiny. That the it's the people. It's who fills those roles and what their experience is and what they have figured out ways to buy, to step aside from the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And said, well, we can do it this way. And they are nerds. And they have read through all of the regs at the Department of Education. They've looked through all of the banking stuff. They've looked through all of the loan papers. And they said, okay, we can do this, 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 and this. And it's piecemeal. And it's slow. And it's aggravating. But every week for the past many weeks, people have gotten an email from Joe Biden that has changed their fucking lives forever.
Yeah. And he tried to do it all at once.
Yeah, he
tried. And who stopped him? The Supreme Court, the Republican Supreme Court and the Republican Party are the ones who stopped him from doing it.
And they're still trying. They're still trying to sue him.
And if you can't see the difference between the two and you just think, well, it's all a big conspiracy and everyone's
if you can't see that the Democrats in Arizona tried to undo what the Supreme Court did in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And gave the Republican Party of Arizona a lifeline this week.
Then they pissed on it and said,
and they
fire.
Pissed on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and one more thing to add to that.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, you know, the experience of someone who's like our kids' age.
Yeah.
And right. A little bit older. Their experience of history is different because I have more decades on them. I have, you know, right. 30, 40 years on them.
Well, Joe and I'm going to tell you, the last time I spoke with Middlechild, she didn't want to say Joe Biden's name. To uh-huh. me. Mm-hmm. And it's Gaza and it's a lot of other things. And she's going to vote for Biden. There's no doubt there. I raised them. She knows right. to what she's got to do.
Yeah. It's painful.
But she said, I don't want to say his name right now. Sorry.
I respect that. Yeah. I absolutely respect that. You've got to hold your nose and vote for the people you don't like. You know what I've been doing my whole life? I have been holding my nose and voting for people I don't like. My whole life.
Weren't perfect. weren't perfect. Yes.
No. Yeah. So I have, and you have decades on them. Joe Biden has decades on us.
Exactly.
And so he actually remembers when the New Deal and the Great Society were like active forces in Democratic politics. Yeah. When that was you tried to.
He talks a lot about 1968. He said, you think January 6th was bad, but it was not 1968.
Well, not the disaster part, but the part where the government is trying to do something good for the people. Yep. It's actually the people acting through their representatives to get shit done. Like, I don't know, rural electrification.
Right.
And you know, the GI Bill.
Yeah.
And because he lived in the aftermath of the government as Franklin Roosevelt and Harry Truman and LBJ for all their flaws and mistakes and all
and
the
Eisenhower.
Racism.
And I'm Eisenhower. Sorry. And Eisenhower. Eisenhower was a liberal Republican in terms of understanding the importance of Social Security. Yeah.
Eisenhower was the guy who said, you know, every battleship is a failure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
because it's all of that money could have gone to help American citizens.
And so there was a study done this week, by the way, that shows the average taxpayer puts more into the Pentagon than they do into Medicare.
Yeah. Which is insane. And he was also the guy who warned against the military industrial complex on his way out.
Right.
As the guy who was the, you know, Commander in Chief of the European Theater, president, he would know what he's talking about. But these guys, Joe Biden has active memory of a time when government at least tried to be a force for good in people's lives. And I think deep in his bones, he really would like it to be that way. Mm-hmm. He really does think, look, I know I'm not going to get the stuff done that you want to get done. I tried, but the Republican Party is just, as you can tell from the ads they're doing, Donald Trump and the Republican Party are active forces for nihilism and chaos, and we can't get shit done because have you seen the Congress? Have you talked to Mike Johnson?
Right.
So I really do believe that level of lived experience is what he's trying to enact now.
Mm-hmm.
As if the government can actually do things to help people, which the people who aren't in their 20s and 30s don't have any reason to believe because they've never seen it.
Yeah.
They've never seen it up close. So
Driftglass, do you have that Trump truth in front of you?
I do. Would you like me to read it?
The end of that, yeah. I want to talk about that for a minute.
This is a Trump truth from April 8th, and it is about Lindsey Graham and about the great disservice he's doing to our Republican Party and our great this and radical left Democrats and destroying the country, blah, 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 blah. And that, you know, legal scholars on all sides, all legal scholars agree that the Roe versus Wade was a great event. However, the last sentence is this. Many good Republicans lost elections because of this issue, and people like Lindsey Graham that are unrelenting and are handing Democrats their dream of the House, Senate, and perhaps even the presidency. This is the first time that Donald Trump has ever acknowledged that people lost, Republicans lost elections because of the stands they took, the insane stands they took under his banner with his blessing and leadership for complete bans on abortion and getting rid of Roe versus Wade. And that the presidency might be lost due to a losing election rather than theft.
Right. Now, Driftglass, yes, imagine being an anti-choice kinkster who thinks that every fetus could possibly be the next Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's not okay to leave it up to the states.
Ever.
It's not okay to let those Californians kill baby Jesus.
No.
Okay. So imagine being that person who put up with grab him by the pussy, who put up with Stormy Daniels, who put up with him saying shit at a rally, who put up with knowing that his marriage was a farce.
All of his
and looked the other way.
All of his marriages were
all of his marriages were a farce. And put up with this thrice married, twice impeached vulgarian.
Right.
Because of abortion.
Because of good little babies.
Good and little babies. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he's caving on them.
Look, blue gal.
Because you got to win elections and blah, blah, blah.
You know, let me explain something to you in a manly kind of way. King Cyrus wasn't perfect.
That's been their argument the whole time.
King David wasn't perfect.
Right. This God chooses imperfect men to do things for him. But so God chose Donald Trump to end abortion, and now Donald Trump is caving.
Well, no. God is using Donald Trump to wipe God's ass because, you know, God used him. And then, you know, being an imperfect man.
Yeah, I absolutely.
He fell from grace.
Believe that we cannot underestimate the right wing's ability to talk themselves into anything.
Oh no, they can talk themselves into anything. Anything. Yeah. Anybody who believes that the end of the world is coming and you have to get rid of Israel to build a bridge to heaven and on the bones of dead people, and it's a good thing that the streets will run up to the chests of the horses in rivers of blood of the people I don't like. Anyone who actually thinks that's a good thing and that's actually how the world will end can't be trusted to do any decision making in the public sector at all.
Right.
Because that sort of insanity guides every decision they make. Every decision they make guides them towards the apocalypse and, you know, and heaven and hell. And that's just insane to let people like that anywhere near the voting. So
Driftglass, we're going to do a news roundup.
Let's goddamn do a news roundup.
That was a 20-minute sidebar. Okay. The best lucid quote of the week is actually from Dave Roberts in Vox from 2017. And isn't it always the case that it's something from 2017? Quote, journalism cannot be neutral toward a threat to the conditions that make it possible. Unquote.
New York Times. The best insane quote of the week is from Donald Trump. This audio is courtesy of the Biden-Harris 2024 presidential campaign. Here is how Donald Trump talks about China and air pollution.
Over the seas, and it comes right over our land. And then they want us to have clean. I say, wait a minute, we're going to be clean, but it's all flying. Just remember that. Does that make sense? In other words, it's all coming through the currents, through the air. It all comes. They can name it. They can say exactly where it's going to be and when.
Now I'm going to read this in the voice of a normal person. And see if you can detect the beat poetry rhythms to it. Think of Riders on the Storm, you know? Your brain is squirming like a toad. You know, just nonsense lyrics coming out of a lunatic person. Over the seas and over our land. And then they want us to have clean. I said, wait, we're going to be clean, but it's all flying. Just remember that. Does that make sense? In other words, it's all coming through the currents, through the air. They can name it. unquote. He's nuts.
He's losing his ability to string sentences together.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best openly seditious quote of the week is from Marjorie Taylor Greene at her invitation-only town hall in Georgia. Quote, if I had it my way, we would have been successful on January 6th and Joe Biden wouldn't be president. Unquote. What, you would have killed enough cops to install Donald Trump as president for life?
Hey, Madge, if I had my way, you would be in prison right now for the rest of your filthy little life. You'd be slinging hash in the prison cafeteria. Arizona Republican State Representative Matt Gress, remember that name, Matt Gress, said today that the state Supreme Court upholding a terrible pre-Civil War law about abortion cannot stand. Okay, very firm in his position. But it was just last year that this very same Matt Gress was pushing a bill to declare fetuses as people, which obviously would make abortion illegal. Huh.
I did a Photoshop this week for a post we cross-posted at Crooks and Liars from 10 Grain at Mock Paper Scissors, the amazing 10 Grain. Mm-hmm. And it was Carrie Lake's abortion cartwheel.
Oh, wee! Yeah.
Because she's just flip-flopping all over the place.
And she's on video.
Yes.
With 180 degree opposite opinions.
Yep.
You know, but if you listen to the whole Lawrence O'Donnell thing all the way through, you will notice that all the presidents, all the candidates, Mitt Romney, George W. Bush, all of them had diametrically opposed opinions than the ones they said out loud.
When they were running for president.
Yeah.
And in Republican presidential primaries, you had to be as pro-life as you could possibly be.
Because the problem was always the base.
Yep.
You had to appease the base. The Republican Party base is the problem. Those 60 million zealots and morons and bigots and imbeciles
are the problem. So you had to be more pro-life than any pro-life. You had to be anti-choice.
Yeah.
You had to be as anti-choice as you possibly could be.
Yeah.
And he does talk about it. John McCain slipped up when they asked him about his 15-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he's talking about Megan.
Mm-hmm.
Being raped, and it's like, well, you know, we would talk with her and support her in her decisions. Like, oh no.
Well, and that Lawrence,
that was an uh-oh in his campaign.
In the extended Lawrence video, you see that same John McCain roasting George Bush during a debate.
A debate, yeah.
About, you know, what was your position? What about now? And Bush just backpedaling and mumbling like he always did, and stepping all over himself, trying to get the hell away from the question because he didn't want to answer it.
Yeah.
Steve Bannon. Remember Steve Bannon?
Yeah. Steve Bannon hosted a Christian mass during the solar eclipse to combat Satan.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. Because Steve Bannon is still here.
He's still among us. John Eastman, the former Donald Trump election lawyer behind the fake electors scheme, was officially disbarred by the state of California. John Eastman is a guy who made millions bilking idiots during the failed attempt to overthrow the 2020 election, is now complaining that he cannot continue to scam morons for more millions to pay for his attorney's fees. Oh, life is so unfair. Oh, poor man.
Make attorneys get attorneys. That's what MAGA stands for. George W. Bush. Remember him? He's still alive.
Yeah.
And he's hosting a fundraiser with, get this, Harlan Crow and Karl Rove. They are raising money for David McCormick to try to unseat Democratic Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania. David McCormick, the guy they're fundraising for, he doesn't live in Pennsylvania. He lives in Connecticut. He does support 6-week abortion bans, and he wants to privatize Social Security, which I'm sure makes Harlan Crow real happy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they can compartmentalize.
They are not, I was going to say they can't read the room. They're in a completely different room.
Yeah. Well, they're just like, well, Donald Trump's the problem. Yeah. And, you know, he's difficult. But we still have to continue. The rest of the party has to grind onward forever. And we have to keep doing the things we're doing. And we're going to drag, you know, the carcass of George W. Bush out of whatever room he's in. And we're going to raise money because that's what we do. We raise money for Republicans. And
they can't get through. Three Texans are raising money for this Pennsylvania Senate candidate, and he's not from Pennsylvania.
Former White House photographer David Hume Kennerly resigned from the Gerald Ford Foundation board because the board refused to give an award to Liz Cheney. Kennerly says the board was afraid that if it honored Cheney and Trump got elected, he would revoke the foundation's tax-exempt status. Fear, fear, fear.
Speaker Mike Johnson says Marge Greene refuses to talk to him. 2 weeks ago, he said she was his friend.
Yeah, they would sit together in the cafeteria and talk about the other kids, and they'd have a burn book, and now she won't even talk to me. Oh, my God. Speaker Mike Johnson also says that if Marjorie Taylor Greene moves forward with her motion to vacate his seat, quote, it would be chaos in the House. Dude, chaos is the plan. Read the room.
Mm-hmm. RFK Jr., who, once again, is deeply mentally ill, in a new statement on January 6th states, quote, I have not examined the evidence in detail, but reasonable people, including Trump opponents, tell me there is little evidence of a true insurrection.
He's lying. He's just lying. He's lying.
Or he's talking to Tulsi Gabbard, and he thinks Tulsi is a Trump opponent.
Yeah. And by the way, one of his senior campaign people gave the game away this week when she said, look, the goal is to get rid of Biden. You know, we knock out Biden, and then we take it to the House, and who knows what will happen then. But, you know, us and Trump are together on this in that, you know, the most important thing is to knock off Biden. So JFK Jr. is a stalking horse for a fascist scumbag who's trying to weasel his way back into the White House.
Oh, and everyone knows. And the things he's been saying about Ukraine are straight out of Putin's mouth.
Yeah. Wisconsin GOP Senate candidate Eric Hovde thinks nursing home residents may be, you know, too close to the grave for them to be able to vote. Quote, well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote, unquote. Sorry, Grandma. I know you love democracy and you voted in every election, but Eric from California thinks you're going to die soon, so you shouldn't be allowed to vote. And that's when Meemaw got out her knitting needles and said, where is this Eric fellow? I'd like to meet him. I'd like to see his eyes up close with my knitting needles in my hand.
I've got one thing to say. Senator Tammy Baldwin, come on down.
Yeah. Did you pick him out of a hat? Did you win a prize?
I think she did.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I got Eric Hovde. Really? That's excellent. Really?
Yay.
Yeah.
The Guardian UK reports that those Trump-installed allies that he was going to put at the RNC with loyalty tests have led to a weakening of certain areas at the RNC, including data.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of need that.
You do. Yeah, they fired everybody, and now they're realizing, oh, there's no one left to run anything?
Yeah. So they are allegedly in the process of begging people to return to their jobs at the RNC.
Please come home. Please. All is forgiven. Trump's former chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, was sentenced to 5 months more in jail after admitting that he lied under oath about helping Trump inflate his net worth to win favorable loan terms.
And in local news, we have a local edition of Guess Which Party from WREX NBC Channel 13. Governor J.B. Pritzker of Illinois is aiming to bring more grocery stores to communities as well as improve those already open. This comes as he announces a new grant program called the Illinois Grocery Initiative, investing $20 million to address Illinois food deserts. And these are matching grants. So $20 million doesn't sound like very much.
Yeah.
But these are matching grants to help grocery stores open in food deserts.
And to get them started, buy new equipment. There's a bunch of other sort of follow-on grants. But, you know, it is a real problem. And he's taking real steps with real money to fix it. And speaking of real money from the Illinois government. Finally, we are proud to announce that the professional left has a new fake sponsor. It's taken a while. But after extensive negotiations, local marijuana dispensary, Emolument, is teaming up with the professional left to announce their new line of branded THC products, which will be named after the projects which taxes on those products will pay for. For example, for mild microdosing for just the right amount of feeling good, there's Pothole Snacks. For an edgier, more alert experience, try School Lunch Reserve. Or if you just want to kick back and game for 17 hours in a row, there's the Summer Jobs Program Infused Shake, Emolument Dispensary, where high meets highway resurfacing.
I am surprised, though, that somebody hasn't approached J.B. Pritzker to do pothole gummies.
I swear to God, it's a million-dollar idea. half that in cash, JB, and I know you got it. It's yours. It's yours. We'll even write the ad copy. Happy to do it.
Well, for our gift to you,
yeah,
for $500,000.
Right, right. And believe me, this will give you that re-election bump you're going to need because, you know.
We know you're worried.
Yeah.
Not.
Well, you can take some of the money you save and, you know, spread it around like you're doing all over the country to get Democrats elected, which is something that J.B. Pritzker is
also doing. Yeah. I hope he sticks to that. I don't want him to run for president because I want him to be my governor forever.
Get your own. Get your own.
Get your own. Right. Anyway. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is the sweetest dog named Annabelle Lee. She was supposed to weigh over 20 pounds so she could play in the big dog park. But when she was received by her human, it turned out she only weighed 8 pounds and it wasn't from Ozempic.
Aww.
But guess what? Annabelle Lee has no problem playing with the big dogs. And in this picture, she is wearing a beautiful sweater. Annabelle Lee is so lovely and believes in body positivity and bodily autonomy. And that's why she eats freshly poured pet food, our fake sponsor. Whether you serve pet store perfection or dollar store dreck, your pet will put on her pretty pink protest sweater and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured.
Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh my Lord, it's freshly poured.
And you can visit Annabelle Lee at our Facebook page or website, and you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us, and really, we'll take anything, whatever you have in your house that's a pet. No dust bunnies.
No.
It's got to be a living animal, but.
No ghosts. No ghosts.
No ghosts, no. But send whatever you want to our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, subject line internet kitty. And you can write to us on any topic at that address as well. That email, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, goes to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air, unless you say otherwise.
Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is, in fact, not charity. This is our job, and it's almost entirely ad-free. If you can spare $5 a month, please spare $5 a month at patreon.com/proleftpod. Please also share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast or even only tolerate it mildly, please get someone else to listen too. And thank you for doing that.
Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, given the political universe they live in, Blue Gale, the internet kids are planning on spending the rest of this campaign season watching Starsky and Hutch reruns on Fubo TV.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license, copyright 2024-25, GGBG Productions.